MSPs are at risk of losing their cyber liability insurance coverage. What can you do to stop this? Stay tuned to today's MSP Zone.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Big topic today. Important topic today. And I love it when we are able to leverage the power of the MSP Alliance membership globally to identify trends that you just don't see anywhere else. And what I mean by that is nobody's talking about this, at least publicly. No one's writing about it. No one's blogging about it. The reporters aren't reporting on it. And that means most likely, unless you're an MSP dealing with this situation and you know about it firsthand, chances are you aren't aware of it, and or you don't know how many others might be impacted by the same issue. And so that's part of the value of what we do here at MSP Alliance and on the MSP Zone podcast, is try to bring that collective global information and analysis to you so that you can act intelligently and proactively. And so that's what we're going to do today, is talk about something that I believe is literally happening right now as we speak throughout the world, at least multinationally we know of. And it involves insurance companies who provide cyber liability insurance coverage to MSPs. The word is, and it's now confirmed across at least three or four different MSP organizations in different states and different countries, who have said that their cyber insurance carrier has come to them and said, essentially, we want you to demonstrate to us that you are doing certain things or we will cancel your policy. And now the one thing that we know of that, you know, at least it has been reported by multiple MSPs, is that it seems to be centered around what I would hope is quite obvious and what I would hope is almost unilateral best practice amongst the MSPs, and that is the internal adoption of multi-factor authentication for MSP users. This does not mean that that 100% of your customers are using it, although I think that would be fantastic for them. But you can't control your customers and what they do always. But you can control what your internal users do, and multi-factor authentication certainly is it's kind of low-hanging fruit. It's really easy. It doesn't really cost a lot of money to implement, and it saves you so much in potential loss and financial exposure and risk, from a variety of different cyber breaches that could happen. So here's what we know. The MSPs are being contacted. They have an existing cyber liability insurance policy. The insurance company comes to the MSP, presumably during a renewal period, and says, hey, in order to renew your policy, we need you to do this. Right? We need you to use multi-factor authentication. But it's not just a request to do it. It's a request to show it. They're being asked, the MSP, are being asked to show to the insurance company that they are actually using multi-factor authentication. And that's where that's the rub, right? Because how easy is it for an MSP to actually demonstrate that? And a little bit of a softball pitch here for the MSP Verify, because all of the companies that we are hearing this from happen to be MSP Verified companies. So These are companies that have already been through 1 year of an MSP Verify audit and certification. And so their response to these insurance companies is, here's my MSP Verify report. It clearly talks about, it specifically talks about multi-factor authentication and a wealth of other security-specific practice areas. And so for those companies, it's quite easy, quite easy for them to demonstrate to the insurance company that they are protected and that they are a safe bet. And that really is, you know, if you're wondering why are the insurance companies coming out with this, well, it's pretty clear to me. The insurance companies want greater assurance from the MSPs that they cover. They want those MSPs that they write policy for to be in a low risk category, as low risk as they can be. And that's, it's common sense. But I think that the experience at these insurance companies, at least some of them, has been quite the opposite. Because I think that they have, and we've talked about this on this podcast, and we've talked about it on, you know, MSP Alliance and articles we've written, the insurance industry has taken a beating over the last 2+ years from companies that claim to be MSPs. And I have said before that I have real doubts about whether or not those companies that filed a lot of those claims in the last 24 months were actually MSPs. That's a separate issue, and that's just my personal belief. But never mind. Anyone can call themselves an MSP, and many of them do, who may have very little experience in managed services or may have very little in terms of their overall revenue being generated from managed services, but they still go out there and call themselves an MSP. So the insurance companies are now trying to figure out, who am I really dealing with? Am I dealing with a company that's really break fix, that really just, you know, isn't quite mature when it comes to service delivery, service process, safe, secure, change management, internal backup policies, multi-factor authentication, password, you know, management, whole litany of things that are easy, should be easy, and are, you know, expected of a normal MSP. The insurance companies are very quickly getting to the point where they're starting to ask these same questions. And so what do you do if you are an MSP and you're out there and you're saying, well, what do we do? Well, you've got a couple of options. One, you don't do anything and you have your insurance canceled and you keep practicing. And yeah, I suppose that's an option. Do I think it's a smart option? Absolutely not. I wouldn't be an MSP today without a cyber liability policy protecting me. It's just foolish. Absolutely foolish. But I suppose people could do it. There's no law requiring that, but if I was a customer, I would be really, really fearful of doing business with such a company, because there's no protection that I would have if that MSP made a mistake and that mistake harmed me. Then I've got some exposure as a customer. But it is an option, and I'm sure there's some providers out there that are doing that. A second option would be they have multi-factor authentication and any of these other security requirements that the insurance companies are asking for, but they have to go extra to show it, right? So how do you go and prove that? Well, maybe multi-factor authentication is fairly simple. You get a screen grab of, not your Active Directory, but, you know, a user listing that shows the multi-factor authentication technology deployed across all of your user accounts, and you show that and hope that is enough evidence for the insurance company to say, yes, I accept that, let's move on. I do think that this is something that is, by the way, a little different than the perfunctory questions that you get asked if you are, let's say, getting homeowners or renters insurance, right? Like I remember, you know, even recently, you know, filling out some of these forms and they ask, you know, do you have a smoke detector in your home? Yes. Great. Well, you get a premium discount on your homeowner's insurance if you have a smoke detector. Did anyone come out and look to see if I actually have a smoke detector? No. Did I have to take a picture of my smoke detector to show to the insurance broker? No. Did I have to show a receipt saying that I bought the smoke detector from a store? No. So all they did was they had a self-attestation from me saying, yeah, I have a smoke detector. I actually do have a smoke detector, and that's besides the point. The point is it's my word that they're taking and everyone's word that they're taking because they just want to know, hey, do you have it? Check the box, move on. This is not the same thing as smoke detectors. We are talking about something very different. So the insurance companies are already, have been for some time now, the smart ones, asking about multi-factor authentication and other related security measures that MSPs ought to be employing. What's changing with this is that the insurance companies are now asking for proof. And so if you're not in that first category of just, I don't care, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to get insurance for cyber protection, if you do care about it and you do want cyber liability protection for your firm, and you get confronted by the insurance company, what do you do and how do you demonstrate that proof? Well, you know, the third option is you give them an audit report. You give them something like an MSP Verify report that shows a third-party auditor independently tested for, among other things, the existence of multi-factor authentication. It exists. It's there. It's operating. It's operating in the way that it should be, right? Those go beyond the, do you have a smoke detector? This is the equivalent of, do you have a smoke detector? Great. I'm going to send somebody out to your house and look at it, or you are going to show me a video of that smoke detector and I'm going to take a picture of it and you are going to upload that video so I have evidence of it, of that thing being true. That's what we're talking about. And if you think that it's going to stop with multi-factor authentication, guess again. It is not. It is going to be multi-factor, it's going to be password handling, it's going to be data handling, it's going to be data backup, it's going to be perimeter endpoint protection, it's going to be a whole list of things that MSPs probably are doing, at least the good ones are doing. It's a whole list of things that MSPs should be doing, if you're not, and it's going to be show me the proof. Because I'm not just going to take your word for it. I want proof that you're actually doing this stuff. And that's the pivot point that we're at. That's the crossroads we find ourselves. And we've been coming to this point for a long time. We've been talking about it. I know you guys have been maybe sick of hearing us say this, but we're here. I mean, you don't have insurance companies make these types of requests if compliance and cyber risk awareness weren't a very serious issue. Now, I think that we're going to have tremendous luck with the insurance profession globally and the MSP Verify because we already are. We have a committee spun up of MSP Verified members who are working on this. We've got a lot of insurance companies who have already seen the MSP Verify, who are aware of it and like it. And it, to them, it's a fast path for them to underwrite and to appropriately categorize these MSPs into the right risk category. And they love that, right? Because it's speed and it's accuracy that they want. And so I think that the, I think we're going to continue to see progress on that front. But I wanted you guys to be aware of this so that you didn't just say, hey, you know, I didn't expect this. No one ever told me. Well, you've been told. You've been warned. And you have time, but not a lot of it, to start to anticipate some of these requests. And don't think that it's going to stop with just the insurance companies. Your customers are, by the way, starting to get wise to this. And if your insurance company doesn't ask you, your customer's insurance company might just ask you. Your customer's cyber insurance carrier might ask them, do you guys use multi-factor authentication? Well, I don't know. Let me ask my MSP. Oh, you use an MSP, do you? Well, why don't you ask them these questions while you're at it? And the depending on how they answer these questions, this may or may not impact your insurance premium, Mr. Customer. Those days are coming next. Mark my words, they're coming. But the good news, the really good news is we are absolutely prepared to respond. We know what the questions are going to be. We know what the answers should be. It's a question of getting mass adoption and adherence to this practice. That's where we're at right now. It's not a challenge about what they're gonna ask, and it's not a challenge, even motive, why they're asking. We know all these questions. We know these answers. We just need to get behavior to spread as rapidly as we can get. That's it. So, you know, it's something that will be, you know, not easy necessarily to get people to change behavior, especially those who aren't really MSPs and don't really see the value in this, and perhaps don't understand why they are at risk. That's maybe the most dangerous of all. But I think real MSPs do. I think real MSPs fully understand this and take it seriously and are ready to give the proper assurance to their insurance companies to make them comfortable. And I just thought it was interesting, and I thought you guys would be interested in hearing that. And of course, we will keep you all updated as we get more information. If more comes out, I'm almost positive more will be coming out in the next days and weeks and months. If you have been contacted by an insurance company, a cyber insurance company, and they are asking questions about your MSP practice and you would like to talk about it on the MSP Zone, send us a note. We'd love to have you on. You want to be anonymous? We don't have to name you. We just love to hear your story and maybe talk to you about it and be able to share that with the rest of the community so they can benefit from your experience. Send us an email at mspzone@mspalliance.com. And we always like hearing from you guys out there. That's it for today. Like I said, I think that this is going to be the tip of the iceberg in terms of the interaction the MSPs and customers have with the cyber insurance community. More will be coming undoubtedly, but I feel very, very confident that we as a profession are ready for the challenge and capable of acting. That's my opinion. Send us a note if you have a comment you'd like to share. Until next time, this is Charles Weaver for the MSP Zone.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.